This is Tony Broom Ministries, presenting the old-time preaching from God's anointed word. Here's a sermon from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 through 21. We start off by talking about the difference between faith and foolishness, and then the message entitled, Resurrection from Ruin. I know the Lord's with me, and there's sometimes a line between foolishness and faith. Some people think they're operating in faith, and a lot of times it's foolishness. And sometimes faith seems like it's foolish. But if you operate in faith, even though the world thinks it's foolish, you don't have anything to worry about.
Amen.
Because God is on your side.
Yes. Amen.
God will tell you to go out to the ocean and cast a hook and hope that the first fish that comes up got a load of money in his mouth. Well, that's what happened. He went out there and put a hook in the sea and opened the fish's mouth. And there was enough money in there to pay the temple tax for him and Peter. I'll tell you what, that was a good thing.
Amen.
You know how much money it was, but if you pay taxes in America, that's a pretty good bit. Well, I want to read from Isaiah 26 in verse 19 through 21. This verse from Isaiah 26, way back there in the Old Testament, you would never think that a verse from Isaiah would talk about resurrection, but it does. Resurrection, it proclaims the resurrection, it prophesies of the resurrection. And in chapter 26, verse 19, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. It says here that thy dead men shall live. That's prophecy. It's really talking about Israel. It's talking about no matter how bad things seem, I want you to know there's coming a day when your dead men will rise and live again. I want you to know that there's coming a day when there will be resurrection from ruin, and that's our subject, resurrection from ruin. It may seem like that everything is ruined now, or as we used to say on the Mill Hill, runt. Everything is runt now, seems like things are bad now, but there's coming resurrection from this ruin. Thy dead men shall live. Not only talking about Israel, but it's talking about the church. Thy dead men shall live. I know that they have been overcome by disease. They have been overcome by sickness. I know that a heart attack or a cancer or whatever it might have been responsible as far as in the natural for taking them out of here. But even though you've had to go to the cemetery and wish them goodbye and put them in the cold, cold ground, I want you to know that thy dead men shall live.
Amen.
Resurrection will come out of ruin. It will not be ruined perpetually, but resurrection is the answer from ruin. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. The thy becomes my. Thy dead men shall live. Now it's good to talk about yours. It's good to talk about someone else. That's prophecy. Thy dead men shall live. That's prophecy. Hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, the prophecy was given that there would be resurrection. Jesus hadn't been born in Bethlehem. He had not suffered on the cross. He had not died. He had not arisen from the dead. But way back yonder, in Isaiah's day, comes this prophecy that thy dead men shall live. That's prophecy. And then it begins personal. Together with my dead body shall they arise. When it says my, that means me and I'm included in this thing.
Amen.
The wonderful promise about resurrection is that it's personal. You can have your own resurrection, and everybody will be resurrected. The Sadducees were so sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you got every right to be sad and mad and everything else. You don't believe in the resurrection. But they were so sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But whether you believe in the resurrection or not, the resurrection is real. And even if you don't want to serve God, you'll still be raised. It would be an awful thing to be raised to be cast into hell, wouldn't it? The lake of fire. Everybody will be raised. Some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt and punishment, shame. Everyone will be raised. So it's not just for the righteous, but the good side is for the righteous. Thy dead men shall arise. Together with my dead body they will rise. They will live. To live means to have life. Now, if you're dead, you're dead. There's a morgue is where they keep dead folks at, not church. Sometimes they get real cold in church. I guess they're getting us ready for the morgue. I don't know. But church don't have no dead folks in it. Church has live folks in it. And thy dead men shall live. Now, if you're dead, to live is an opposite thing. That is as opposite as you can get. Day and night, black and white, life, death, death, life. Your dead men will live together with my dead body shall they arise. My body may be dead. It may be in a grave. It may be cremated. Whatever you decide to do is your business. But on that resurrection morn, your dead body will rise. The only way it can rise, it has to be resurrected. There has to be life. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Awake and sing. He gives you a resurrection song. And it goes something like this. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. No grave is gonna hold this body down. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Dust is about as dirty as you can get. Dumber than dirt is dust. And the scripture says, from dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Thank God that's not the end of the story. Because dust, out of dust, can come resurrection life through the power of God. The same power that brought our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead will come into that grave where you are, will raise you up by the power of God, the same as it did to Jesus on that first Easter morn. You will be raised in his likeness. Awake and sing, ye who dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs. That is, it takes dew to make herbs grow, plants grow. It takes dew, it takes rain. And how many of us know that in that grave, there ain't no dew in there? It's dry as dry bones, Ezekiel talks about. There was this man who operated well in the gifts of the Spirit, but he got off way out in the left field somewhere. And the people around him convinced him that he was going to be that latter-day prophet that was going to come. They convinced him that he would be, and that he is Elijah that was to come. Well, Elijah is Elijah. There's not but one Elijah. And he's a Jew. This man didn't qualify because his name is not Elijah. He was not Elijah. He was not a Jew. But somehow he was convinced that he was that prophet that was going to come. And unfortunately, like I say, he was a wonderful person to operate in the gifts and word of knowledge, but he got off. That's you and I. We need to be careful that we don't get off. Amen. In the left field out here listening to somebody who don't know a Cracker Jack box from a hamburger paper. And some of these doctrines, some of these things that people come up with is about as cuckoo. They don't make sense. This fellow, this preacher, he got unfortunately hit by a drunk driver, and he didn't live too long, he died. But the interesting thing is at his grave, there is a telephone line which goes into his sepulcher, into his grave. And there is a live telephone so that if this man were to rise from the dead, he would be able to contact someone through this telephone. They'd come and get him out. But it seems like to me that if he had power to raise himself from the dead, he'd have power to do like Jesus. The stone wouldn't be there anymore anyway. It's amazing how people can come up with these things. There's a live telephone and a line in this fellow's grave. It's amazing how people can come up with all this thing. What really kind of made me laugh about thinking about this thing last night was, I wonder if he ever gets any robocalls. This is your last call. We're going to sell you a car warranty on your vehicle. And I say, you liar, it ain't your last call. You say it every day. Besides, who would want to sell a warranty on a car to a blind man? You know you got to be a fool. You know you ain't telling the truth. In that grave, wherever people are, there's no dew in that grave. But the dew is as the dew of herbs. That resurrection has life. The earth will literally cast out the dead. The earth, the graves, the earth will say, get out of here, dead folks. You're not dead anymore, and we can't hold you. The grave could not hold our Lord down. He came up. Up from the grave he arose, victorious o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah! Christ arose. The earth will cast out the dead. Resurrection, invitation, and preparation. Verse 20, he says, come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. This is invitation. Yes, it's true. Things look pretty bleak right now. They look pretty bad right now in this world in which we live. There is ruin all around. I don't need to even tell you and remind you about the looting and the stealing and the killing and all that's going on in our streets and all around the towns and cities of our country and the nations of the world. It's not bad enough that America got torn up by protests and all these things that are going on. And here comes the other nations of the world. They pick it up and start acting like monkeys too, going out here tearing their countries up. Think, what in the world? You've never known this person. You never know who got killed. You've never known it. All you've got to do, and all you do, is just get excited in the wrong way because somebody else got mad, and you start tearing your stuff all up. Well, God's invitation is, come, my people. Enter into your chambers. Shut your doors about you. That's what we've been doing for the last umpteen days and weeks and months. We've been, as it were, in our chambers. We've had to shut our doors about us. We've had to come into our chambers and come aside. And you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't see anyone. You couldn't hug anyone. You couldn't embrace nobody. You couldn't talk to your family. You couldn't be in the grocery store. You couldn't be in the house of God. Come and shut yourself in your bedroom. Act like a hermit. That's what we've been doing. That's the ruin. God is saying to us, come. I invite you to come aside for a while. I invite you to do what you have to do. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. It ain't gonna be this way always. For a child of God, the best is yet to come anyway. And they say, what if you catch the virus? What if you die? So, just going to that place we're supposed to be trying to get to anyway. Why do we want to fight so hard to stay in this trash can when God has prepared us a mansion? It's amazing how much we believe in heaven as long as the birds are singing and the sun is shining. But when trouble comes, Our belief in heaven is somewhat shaken, but it cannot be shaken because God's word is true from the beginning to the end. God's word doesn't change because of pandemic. God's word doesn't change because of disease. God's word doesn't change. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is still the only way. Hide yourself if you have to. Stay quarantined if you have to. Stay in your home if you need to. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. I invite you to come. I invite you to spend time with your Lord. I invite you to get away if you have to. I invite you to separate and seclude yourself if you have to. But you're only preparing yourself for resurrection. Hide yourself, even if it seemed like a long time, just for a little moment, and sooner or later the indignation will be passed. Resurrection, punishment, and payment. Verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. It's amazing to me how folks during this time, they changed their lifestyle. They know how to put on a face covering, but they don't know how to change their heart. Their behavior is not changing. Their lifestyle, as far as the things that they're doing and have to do, has changed, but as far as getting right with God, it hadn't changed yet. In fact, if it's anything, to use a North Carolina word, they're worser. They're worse now than they were before. That's the way the book of the Revelation says it's going to be. When the plagues start coming, instead of getting right with God and turning away from their sin, it said they repented not of their fornication and thefts and evil works. Idol worship. Still involved. Seem like the worst things get, the worst people get. Instead of the worst that things get, the better you would think people should get. To wrestle us back to our senses, to bring us back to our senses in America, to say that we have sinned against our God. When you don't even honor the red, white, and blue anymore, and you don't even know where you came from, and you don't even know who your forefathers are, you're going to take some yahoo off television and you're going to say he's just as important. He ought to be put up there with Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and people like that. I'm thinking, you ain't even in the same world. You ain't even in the same world. I'll give you one of George Washington, Abe Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. I'll give you one of them for every 10 of the other ones. That doesn't mean that they're not important in the sight of God. It's just their character. I'm talking about the way that people are exemplifying and putting themselves out there. He said, I'm coming out of my place. And they said, Lord, Isaiah talked about it. Lord, come down, rend the heavens and come down. Tony Boy said, oh, well, you better wait. You better not ask him to do that. You better hope he don't. Lord, I just want you to come down. God said, you better not. You don't want me to come down right now. The United States of America, Washington, D.C., Moscow, London, they don't want God to come down right now. Because if he comes down right now, they got a whole lot of hell to pay. If he comes down right now, he's going to blow some smoke. There's going to be some holy smoke. The Lord will come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth also shall disclose her blood, shall no more cover her slain. God said, be sure your sin will find you out. America will pay because we turned away from our God. But there's hope, resurrection from ruin. We don't have to go down in ruin. We don't have to burn. We don't have to fall apart. We don't have to demolish. God has a blessing for us. He can bring resurrection out of ruin. He can take our ruin and turn it into resurrection. He can take our defeat and turn it into victory. He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is on our side. It may surprise us, the things that happen. We're talking about the young man that got moved to a place that we didn't want him to be, but it didn't surprise God. God knows what's happening. God knows how to prepare the way before. God knows how to make a way. If he's a chain breaker, he's a way maker. He knows what to do. And the devil cannot do anything that God already has a checker move up on him way early this morning. You don't get up early enough to fool and trick God. God has a power to bring Jesus Christ, just as dead as a doornail, out of that grave. And the power, the same power that works in us, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion and might, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hey, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Praise God. He say, you just putting on a show. If it is, it's a mighty good one. Worth coming back to see. It ain't no show. This thing ain't no show. This is real. This is life and death, lost and saved, resurrection. Resurrection from ruin. He has the answer for us. Don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who's able to cast both body and soul into hell. That's the one that you should fear and revere and respect. America needs to come back to the fear of God. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be in church. Thank you for this word. Isaiah 26, way back in the Old Testament. You give us promise of resurrection, promise of life. Lord, I just thank you. You'll bring our dead body out of that grave and we'll live forever. Have a glorified body like your precious, glorious body, and we'll live with you forever. We'll never be sick. We'll never hurt. We'll never have a pain. We'll never have a care or worry again. And I thank you for that. What are the benefits of being right with God? We praise you, Lord, for life and life abundantly. Thank you for resurrection from ruin. I pray that many would find comfort in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to the old-time preaching from God's Anointed Word. The title has been Resurrection from Ruin. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know him as your Lord today. You will have the promise of his glorious resurrection. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.